I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Hi, everybody. This is the Blizzard Watch podcast. I'm your host, Matt. With me this week are two amazing co-hosts. Liz, say hi to everybody.
Hello, everybody.
And Joe. Hi, Joe.
Hello.
We did a little pre-show. We do that every week. By the way, if you want to hear the pre-show, we stream it live on the Blizzard Watch Twitch account. It's literally just twitch.tv/BlizzardWatch. And you can listen to me and Joe and Liz talk about all sorts of stuff. This week, civic planning and painting miniatures. The miniature painting story is heartwarming, if a little, you know, it's touching. And the civic planning thing was very much not. So, yeah, things come and go on the free show. We talk about all sorts of random stuff. But on this show, we actually talk about Blizzard Entertainment and its mini games and other games maybe in the future. Who knows what will happen. Before we get into anything, this is something I'm just straight up just going to mention and we can just move on. But it's been like 78 days since Blizzard's employees had their list of demands after the DFEH lawsuit. And nobody from Blizzard has so much, and nobody from Activision Blizzard, sorry, the higher ups, has so much as addressed them. Not even to say them. This isn't going to happen. Yeah, not acknowledge them, not address them. Not, you know, as far as where they're concerned, this stuff didn't happen. Can't see it, can't hear it, you can't make me. So yeah, we're pointing that out. That is words I can't say, and I don't feel like having a pirate ghost put over me right now. So yeah,
we get one per PG-13. Go for it.
Yeah, I don't want it yet. I want to save it because who knows? We're going to be talking more about this situation in a little bit. There's a news about it that happened, but to give us something friendlier and happier to talk about up front, Mercenary mode for Hearthstone came out today. And we have opinions, and amazingly, they don't all agree. I know you're shocked. I'm going to have Liz talk first.
Actually, yeah, I think we actually cover like the whole range of opinions between the three of us.
Yeah, but I'm going to have Liz talk first because she is much more knowledgeable about Hearthstone than we are. Although I'm going to say, I think in Mercenary modes, we're all basically in the same area, like because this is very different from regular Hearthstone. So go ahead, Liz.
So yeah, Mercenaries came out today, and it's in Hearthstone, which we know is a collectible card game, but it is not a card game. It's a little turn-based RPG where you go through these sort of random list of encounters and you do quests and you level your mercenaries and you collect gear. It's a tiny little RPG built into Hearthstone. And it's a little confusing because I think if you like Hearthstone, you don't really know what to expect. And if you don't like Hearthstone, this is a totally new game mode that you might like that you may never see because it's in Hearthstone. And you're like, I don't like card games, but this isn't a card game, just kind of crammed into Hearthstone. And I don't like it and I don't dislike it. I'm right in the middle here. I don't mind it. I've been playing it all evening, you know, trying to get a feel for it. But I also don't love it. It feels like a very simple RPG where you just go in and it's like, okay, I'm going to play these encounters over and over and level my heroes and get more heroes and then level those heroes. So I don't know if it's going to have longevity because it's a pretty simple RPG to me. I was hoping someone else was going to pick up.
Oh, I was waiting.
Oh, I was trying to. I'm sorry. I drank some liquid and thus my headphone thing was popped up. Joe, I know you have pretty strong opinions about it, I'm going to say you should go next.
Sure. I'm going to preface this by saying I am a firm believer of it's not for me. I'm not going to talk garbage about it or tell somebody that they're wrong for liking something. I just don't like it. I went through the tutorial of like lead an adventure thing. Didn't really care for it. I thought the UI was very unintuitive. I thought it was very ham-fisted in a way that did a lot of things. I think Liz is right that it is a very simplistic RPG. It reminds me a lot of an old tabletop game that involved dice called Dice Warriors, where there was really literally nothing to it besides you picked dice. They were your warriors. You rolled them and you hoped you did well. Except there's that turn-based combat element to it. I can see what they were going for, and I know that people are going to enjoy this, and I'm going to be very, very happy for them. But it just, it lost interest, at least I lost interest very, very quickly, so much so that, like, I immediately uninstalled Hearthstone when I was done going through the tutorial, because I'm not going to play this again. Like, I'm just, and that's okay, it's just not for me. I am not the target audience, just like I wasn't the target audience for their Battlegrounds when they did their auto battle. Just not my thing. And that's okay.
Matt. Okay. As you can see, I'm actually playing this right now while we're having this conversation. I like it. I don't know why I like it. Like, if you ask me to explain my liking it, I don't got nothing for you. Everything they're saying about it is true. It's simplistic. It doesn't make a lot of sense in terms of, like, this is nothing to do with a card game at this point. The only card game part is your characters are on cards when you first pick the three you're going to be using. And that's it. That is the only sop to card gaming in this entire thing. And it is absolutely not a super complicated game. I mean, it is everything that they just said it is. I don't feel the need to belabor it or defend it. And yet I'm still playing it. I'm sitting here playing it right now. I don't know why I'm doing it. If you ask me to justify why I'm doing this instead of like the much more deep and interesting games that I've got at home that I could be playing, well, for one thing, some of those aren't Blizzard games and I kind of have to be playing a Blizzard game for this most of the time. But also, why am I doing this and not Diablo 2? I've got nothing for you on that one. In every way I could tell you, Diablo 2 or Diablo 3 or the original Diablo feels like a more complete and better game to me than this. But this is actually, it's interesting in much the same way that you see all the games on mobile and so forth, where it's like, you know, just wander around and like, you know, I have a number over my head and I go hit some other person with a number over their head. It's more complicated than that, but in a way that doesn't feel onerous. And I'm having very little difficulty playing it. I'm enjoying it. Like right now I'm fighting this elemental guy who's kicking my butt and it's fun. I do not mind doing it. I'm keep healing up my tank, you know, keep shooting this guy with arrows and, you know, keep hoping that we stay alive. I that's it. That's the game. And I straight up enjoy it. And I am surprised. Believe me, I am incredibly surprised to be enjoying this because I don't enjoy this kind of thing. I don't know if it's the Blizzard polish. And I also got to say, the thing that they didn't talk about that I do have to say is the UI is maddening.
Yeah, it is not good.
It is not. The UI needs significant improvements, and the game needs to be better at telling you what it is you're doing.
Yeah, like we're talking about that in chat a little bit. Like, I don't agree with the monetization of Magic the Gathering Arena, but it is a game that the interface is like top tier for anything involving cards and the various types of play. It is very easy for somebody who has no idea what they're doing to figure out what they're doing within the first 5 minutes. The UI for this though, I don't know where the decision-making process was, but it is maddening is a very good word for Matt.
Yeah. But overall my reaction to this is positive. I think it is fun. I'm enjoying it and I'm not the kind of person who likes a lot of these kind of games. And it, the pros and cons for me are fun, liking it, liking the characters, think there's a lot of potential here. The cons are UI feels rushed as heck at best and outright, you know, infuriating at worst. And there is, I don't know how to put this part, there really needs to be a better, an interface that doesn't feel like it's fighting you, but also this, if you are a Hearthstone player who likes playing Hearthstone, the game about playing a card game, you will not like this because it is not a card game. Like if you are just, if that's what you came here for, you're not getting it. That's not a breaker for me because, you know, I'm not that invested in it. And it's like, and they already did this with Battlegrounds, right? I mean, we could pretty much say Battlegrounds are not a card game either, right?
Battlegrounds does actually have cards.
Yeah, but you would be willing to say it's different kind of game as well, right?
It is a different kind of game, but it's also one of Hearthstone's most popular modes. So I don't know that it's a bad thing for them to branch out. But Battlegrounds does have cards that you play and use.
Yeah, the only cards this has is at the very beginning and end, and then they're not really cards. I don't know. I get the DNA of it. I understand how it got to this point because it definitely feels very much like the tokens and stuff you drop during a Hearthstone game. I don't know. I generally do like this game. I do like it. So that's me.
Yeah, and I'm happy for you.
But anything else we want to talk about the game before we move on to other stories?
I'm good.
I want to say that I think sometimes your brain does not want a super complicated game. And maybe this is like the level you are able to play or interested in playing because it's something, it's a little challenging. It's not very challenging. It kind of engages you, but not too much.
And oh, sometimes
that's a good thing.
Just my brain just did it. It clicked something I've been thinking about when you were talking about that. This game reminds me of the mission table from the original Garrison, but if you could actually play it.
Yeah.
Like if you took the little guys and you put them on the table, but then instead of just, oh, you won or you lost, you actually have moves and stuff to do during it. I actually think this would be the best mission table ever if it was in World of Warcraft. Like this is what the mission table should be like. There should be gameplay involved. It shouldn't just be put your characters in a thing and then wait till tomorrow and see if you got something. It should be this. It should be, you know, you get on the mission table, you do your mission, you get through the thing, you make choices, and you win or you lose. And I do like that aspect of it. I do think there's gameplay here, and it's emergent gameplay that I think is fun. But I can see why people wouldn't like it, because, again, it does not feel tremendously like Hearthstone. And also, it is simple. Like, I could honestly, I think one of the reasons Joe doesn't like it, although I don't know that he would agree with me, is that it is not challenging him. Joe is an extremely tactical person.
I can't disagree. I think that's part of it. Yeah.
I've noticed this as a DM. Dealing with Joe, I have to like literally cheat. Like straight up. Like, you know, oh, yeah, Joe's here and he's going to do that. All right. I better quickly add something to the NPC where that doesn't work. Not to completely stymie him, but just to keep him from finishing every encounter in three moves. You have to kind of like, the assumption I'm always making is, well, my character, my villain here is way smarter than I am. So they would have expected that thing that Joe just did.
Mm-hmm.
And then you like, you'd only do it once or twice. You can't just keep doing it because then the player will realize, oh, you're shafting me. And then they will hate you. But if you do it once or twice, they're like, I'll change tactics. And you're like, oh, okay, well, now I'll just have to let him do this horrible thing that's going to screw up my entire encounter.
I'm sorry, man. How many
times? No, it's fine. This is not a complaint. But I think for people who are extremely tactically minded, this will feel like baby's first tactical game.
Yeah, I think you might be right.
This is it's a turn-based tactics game, but it's not a sophisticated one. And keep in mind that I'm only on the level 7 part of the tutorial. I have not gotten past that, but I don't see it changing to become a really complicated thing anytime soon. And that means for players who are extremely tactically focused, I could see there being a problem there. I could see this just not being what they want. So, but yeah, I think we've talked about it enough. I do like it. I really do. This is so weird for me to be saying this. I'm like not Captain Positive. If anyone who knows me knows that, but I'm actually having fun with it. So, but now we should move on to talking about, I'm just going to pull the Band-Aid on it because we're going to have to talk about it sooner or later. If you've been keeping track of the whole situation with Blizzard, Activision Blizzard and its various lawsuits, one of the big ones was a recent settlement that they negotiated with the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, which is a federal agency. for an $18 million settlement. We talked about it last week. We said it's, you know, underwhelming as settlements go. I think underwhelming and is actually being nice here.
Underwhelming and comes with strings attached to try to absolve them of any legal obligation.
Which, the California Department of Fair Employment and Housing obviously did not like this settlement, because one of the things that will happen is that people who sign up for it will lose their rights to sue Activision Blizzard over this kind of thing. And that could mean that the various things that they could tell the DFAH will be removed. They could be put under privilege. There's lots of stuff that they don't like. So they filed an objection in court saying, hey, we don't want this settlement to go through like this because it will hamper our investigation. And that's when the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission smashed them in the face, legally speaking, because they pointed out that the two chief attorneys that have headed up the DFEH investigation for the past 2 years worked on the EEOC investigation and therefore were privy to details of it. And now they're filing against it, which is a conflict of interest. And not only is that ethically dubious, there's whole sorts of, every state has their own version of, you know, ethics laws and so forth, but it's specifically illegal in California for this to work on this thing without permission from your previous employer, which they did not get or even try to get. And so the EEOC is saying not only do those two lawyers, you know, shouldn't be able to file it, but because they were in charge of the DFEH investigation, even though California has changed counsel already, that shouldn't matter, because these two were directing everything California did for the past 2 years, and thus they've poisoned everything. And their entire legal division shouldn't be involved in this settlement case at all. That hasn't been decided yet. The judge has not ruled on it one way or another. But if the Equal Opportunity, the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission gets their way here, not only will the DFEH not be able to file their complaint and not object at all, it's really bad for their case, because it is like handing Activision Blizzard
a get out of jail free card.
Not a get out of jail free card, but partial. Let me put it this way. Any lawyer even people who like make up being lawyers or watch a lot of Law and Order on TV can already hear the Blizzard attorney saying these two employees didn't like what was going on at the EEOC. And so they moved over to California and brought all that information with them to try and get, you know, with a vendetta against Blizzard. And this is why this happened. And the judge will have to think about this, because the ethics complaint, they did violate California law. I think it's likely they did not intend to do so, but regardless, they did. This is going to have fallout for the DFEH case. I won't say it's good for Activision Blizzard, but it's bad for the DFEH.
I mean, if it winds up getting into the ruling where the entire legal counsel is seen as poisoned and no longer able to carry on the case, then it becomes good for Activision Blizzard. And it becomes, no matter what, this whole thing becomes exceptionally bad for the employees. And that's the part that I care about the most. Like, it's a legal, like, eye level waving contest between the two of them at this point, where like, yes, this law was violated, but now it's like, instead of trying to take a measured approach with the idea of there was still wrongdoing that needs to be done, the EEOC is going full bore and just like pushing for everything to be like obliterated almost. And it's at the end of the day, it's mind blowing to me that this group that sued at a federal level on behalf of the employees because of the conditions and the treatment and everything that happened, and even with that $18 million fund win, and I'm air quoting that, would then not want more recompense or better for the employees that they're supposed to be protecting. Like it's sickening. Like, I understand the whole, like, the law is the law is the law, but it seems like they're taking it a step further than that. And I don't know what the outcome is going to be, but Matt's right. There's going to be fallout, and it's scary fallout. Like, and I mean, go ahead.
Liz edited the piece that I wrote. So I wanted to get her feedback on this too. To me, one of the most startling things is how aggressive the EEOC was in their response. What did you think about that?
I mean, yeah, it's an aggressive response, but the state of California is being accused of, if that is true, it's a very serious legal matter. And, you know, you can understand where they're coming from in filing such an aggressive response. I would point out that we have only heard the side of the case from the federal attorneys. We have not heard a response from California. So maybe there's something that's different. Maybe this is not what it seems. I don't know. But it just, this is such a boondoggle. This seems like such a mistake. How could you make a mistake like this? It's almost comic that you would make such an error like this when prosecuting such an important case. And definitely this is going to come up in the state of California's case, even though this filing was not related to the state's case.
No, it wasn't. That's the other thing, too. This entire thing, the EEOC measure, that their motion, is purely in regards to the federal case and the settlement negotiated for that case. It has no relevancy to the DFEH. The only reason the DFEH filed was because they were afraid that people that they would require to prove their case might be locked out through either their own signing of the, you know, they would have to sign a agreement to get the settlement, and that settlement could therefore be used to, you know, indemnify Activision Blizzard in the case, or they would lock testimony behind privilege because now it would be a legal matter. Mm-hmm. Between the attorneys and the people taking the settlement. So it's understandable DFEH filed, and I'm positive they did not expect this. Like, they did not think going into this that the EEOC would say, hey, what about that ethics violation? I mean, they probably, you know, if they knew that was going to happen, they would have gone in there with different lawyers.
Yeah.
You know, there's just, they had new lawyers in like 10 minutes. They had hired new lawyers by the time the story even came out. So they have the capacity to get new lawyers. So yeah, this is weird. And it is, we don't know a lot yet, as Liz just pointed out. So yeah, there's a lot to this, but I felt like
I do wonder if there's another side of the story. Even if there is another side of the story, this is such a complicated boondoggle, and it was already a complicated boondoggle, and now it's a more complicated boondoggle. So
yeah, it's extra here we boondoggly. Are. Yeah, because previously it was bad, but at least we understood what was going on between the different agencies. Now we don't. We have no idea what's going on now. Mm-hmm. So yeah, there's like, because as Liz pointed out, it does. We haven't heard from California, and it does feel like there's almost no way they would have walked into that courtroom if they thought there was any ethics violation to be worried about. They just, you know, and what they didn't walk into a courtroom. This was all on the phone. So yeah, I'm interested to see what happens next. Obviously, I am, as Joe pointed out, this is really not great for the employees because it makes this whole thing more tenuous. And the more tenuous it is, the less secure they are. So yeah, I don't really have much else to say about it. Either of you have anything to wrap up on before we move on to the next thing?
No, I think I'm good.
I think we covered it.
All right, then I'm going to move on to something that's a bit, you know, more fun. Halloween Terror from Overwatch, the yearly event celebrating Halloween. I mean, it's in the name. I feel like I kind of covered it. Anyway, that's today. As we are recording this, it started today. Mm-hmm. I have not had a chance to look at any of it because just a lot of stuff. Like, I wanted to get Mercenary Mode downloaded and played, and I could not get it to download for like most of today. It's like, I don't know what happened. It was like for like an app, like 3 hours, my download speed was so low that the bar wasn't even moving. And then all of a sudden, as soon as I complained about it in work chat saying, if I can ever get it to download, it was like, whoomp. So that's been me today. So I haven't had a chance to even look at Overwatch. Have either of you looked at it?
Yes.
Talk to me about it.
The main draw as always is the skins that are available. I haven't had a chance to drop into usually it's Dr. Drunkenstein's Revenge. But like usually it's brand new skins. And this year is no exception with some of the phenomenal skin work that they've done. Particularly I am, maybe surprising no one, super pleased with Vampire Hunter Brigitte and Dwargar Reinhardt, because something about Reinhardt being a deep dwarf is just absolutely hilarious to me. But the Vampire Hunter Brigitte looks very much like you would expect a Van Helsing with a mace and a shield to look like. It is very, very well done. There's Satyr Lucio, which is at I think, really well done. He looks sort of like Xavius, almost. Like Xavius before tentacles, which I think is really neat. There is Vampire Bat Echo, which is a super high-tech, bat, which looks really, really cool. It actually looks like something out of a G.I. Joe cartoon, and I'm sort of here for it. You have Coffin Bastion with his little undead skeleton arm, and when he transforms into a coffin tank, because that's a thing that can happen. Skeleton Genji, which is Genji in skeleton-painted armor. Almost looks like one of those morph suits that if you turn the lights off and the skeleton pieces glow in the dark. There is Einherjar Zarya, which makes sense. Dishing out the Viking Einherjar look. And then there's Clown Roadhog, which is absolutely terrifying because his face is definitely the clown stuff. But it's the stomach that gets me, because on his stomach is painted a clown face that says smile, and it is menacing. And I don't like clowns to begin with, so thanks for that, Blizzard. I appreciate it. But yeah, you can earn these different ways. We actually covered on the site. But it's, if you are into Halloween and you like Overwatch, now's your time to shine, folks.
Alrighty, that's pretty cool.
You stop there.
I've been pushing the wrong button as I explained to people that I pushed the wrong button. So there you go. I've been hosting podcasts since 20.
It's been a while.
2008. Oh my God. My God. Hold on. Brain hurt. Anyway, something we should talk about, the last thing on our list for this week, is the Seasons of Mastery for WoW Classic. They were announced. It's basically kind of like Seasons from Diablo 3, but for WoW Classic, where you can go to a new server that resets everybody. Like you, everyone starts at level 1 and all the content is, you know, not open yet. And then it's an accelerated leveling experience. They speed up the leveling and they drop the content more rapidly. So like, I think by the end of the year, you've got everything unlocked. We don't know when it's coming out yet. It's already on the PTR. Like there's a PTR for this right now, as we are recording. It's been out for like, I think almost a week. So you can go test it. You can go look at like the leveling. I think it's locked to level 30 on the PTR right now. But the cool thing about it, in my opinion, is that it basically allows people to have the fresh experience that, you know, once WoW Classic got to its last content patch, it's not the same as when you leveled it and, you know, nothing was open yet, because everything is now open and people just skip straight to the end. I do think it's interesting. I'm looking forward to seeing how it plays out when people actually play it. But I'm not sure how it's going to work. Like, I mean, let's just put it up this. They've basically taken the concept of WoW Classic and it started with no changes and then moved to some changes. And now this is pretty significant changes. And I don't mind it, because the other service will still be out there if you don't want to deal with it. But I do think it's interesting. Are we going to see this repeat? Is it going to be like Diablo Seasons, where you get a new season and this is different?
That'd be kind of rad, actually.
Yeah. I just want to know if that's going to be what happens. Like, what would you think of that, Joe, since you think it would be rad? Expand.
I kind of like that idea, almost. Like, and this is because, again, for me, WoW Classic isn't vanilla WoW. They are two completely separate beasts, two completely separate things. But I like the idea of sort of like that season cycle where, you know, things reset and you get to do things over again. And you get to experience everything over again. And it's sort of like a repeating time capsule almost. And if you pace it right, I think it could work really, really well. Diablo Seasons were fun for a while for me until they weren't. And then I just moved on to other things. But this is something that I think would fall into that same category. It would be fun for quite a while. I think this is something that would actually make me likely install WoW Classic and play WoW Classic. And that's saying something. If you've listened to this podcast, you understand what that means. But like, I think it would be a cool idea, because it's again, that's part of the fun of what Classic was to me, was sort of that original like grind and discovery and everything else. And even then, like after that, it was leveling alts through and refiguring out how to do things in the most efficient way to try to like sort of, I don't want to say jump the queue, but do it quicker, more efficiently and better. That was really fun for me. So having seasons where you reset and do it again, instead of building 1,000 alts, you could just do it with, you know, in my case, my shaman repeatedly. I'd be all about that. Like, that'd be super rad.
Okay, Liz, I wanted to ask you, since one of the things that they're also talking about doing is rebalancing the various encounters so that they have more health or otherwise have abilities from their original incarnations, because as things stand, every boss came out in their patch 1.12 mode, like after like a couple years, like, so people went to Molten Core, but the Molten Core bosses had been nerfed from their original, you know, iteration. What do you think about that? Like them actually rebalancing the encounters and aiming for stuff to be harder up front?
I mean, I think it's a good thing. You want to improve, at least I assume the point of this is to improve the game's longevity. And to do that, I think you have to add something new. I know we've all been no changes about Classic, but, you know, everyone's gotten to the end of Classic, and now everyone's rushing through content in Burning Crusade, and you're going to run out of stuff to do. And for the people who love Classic, who loved Vanilla WoW and want something of that experience, well, they're out of things to do now, if that's what they wanted. So this gives them something new. It gives them the Classic-like experience, but it adds some challenge. It changes it up enough to where it can be different and hopefully be fun and give them something new to do that they still enjoy. So I think it's fine, especially considering how everyone just rushed through every single boss when Classic first came out. It was just zoom through every encounter. So I think rebalancing is a really good idea. And we're going to have to see what happens.
Okay, one of the things I've been thinking about is that if this becomes a repeating thing, like if we have new seasons in the future, will they steal the theme season idea? And if they do, what will the themes be? season two, it's going to be the season of, you know, I don't know, monkeys.
No. Monkey. Season two needs to be the season of Hogger.
Well, you know.
Oh.
But my point being, like, seriously, like, do you think that would work for WoW Classic players? Or would that be a bridge too far? Like the idea of, you know, this season you get a special buff that allows you to do X or what have you. Like Rallying Cry of the Dragon Slayer all the time. Like, you know where I'm going? Like, what would be good? Would it be a good idea, or should they just stay as minimal as possible with it?
I mean, I think doing changes like that, you know, they're still leaving the original servers, you know, the way they were. But I think making changes and having this sort of seasonal play is a really good and a really interesting idea, because you can keep playing Classic, but you have something new to do, because Classic has been around for a while. I mean, we all know what Vanilla was like. We've been there, we've done that, and now Classic has been out for quite a while. Everyone has had time to burn through that content. But if you enjoy Classic style gameplay and you want to keep playing, you run out of things to do. So yeah, change it up enough that there's something new to do, but not so much that it doesn't feel like you're playing your Classic classes. It doesn't feel like the experience is gone. I think it's a good idea.
Joe?
I think it's a good idea.
Then my last question about this before we move on to emails and so forth is this. We've now basically got this game, and we've got Burning Crusade Classic, and everyone's talking about Wrath Classic, although it hasn't been announced yet. Would you eventually like to see like every expansion get at least one server dedicated to going back and playing into that rule set? Like, would you be interested in a Cataclysm one? Would you be interested in Mists of Pandaria, where you go back and you play the Mists of Pandaria zones as they were on launch with the abilities you had at launch? Like, all the way, like, get to do Legion at level 100 again? Like, would that be interesting, or do you think that that's kind of getting nuts and we should just... We're okay where we are.
I'm always going to say more is more gooder.
Yeah, I mean, and clearly people enjoy that kind of gameplay, but also, like, I don't feel... While there are some things I liked about older expansions, you know, I don't feel the need to go back and do them again, personally. And that's actually why this Classic Season of Mastery is more interesting to me than just straight Classic, because I could go back and do it again, but it's a little different. And the leveling process is a little less, will go a little faster. So you could get through the leveling grind and get into doing things faster. So that might be interesting.
Okay. I think at this point we're going to start doing the emails and questions. If you have a question for the show, you can email us at podcast@blizzardwatch.com with the subject line Podcast of Blizzard Watch. So we know it's for the show. And I'm going to say, please do, because right now it's all spam emails.
Yeah, we're getting, we're getting light on emails.
Yeah, like it's great that y'all are using Discord, but I mean, it's kind of dispiriting when I open up the email folder and it's some other person trying to get me to, like, you know, talk about automotive glass repair or what have you. It's like, this is not, I mean, Blizzard Watch, even if you thought we were like a snow thing, this question is not about that. But regardless, so yeah, that you can do that. You can hit us up on at podcast@blizzardwatch.com. Please do. We love getting emails. Or if you do just prefer Discord, you can absolutely go to our Discord and go to the Patron Q and Podcast Questions channel if you're a patron, and you know, you get a better chance of having your questions answered. I think every question we have this week comes from that channel. The other channel on Discord is the Q Questions channel, which didn't have any questions, which is why I didn't use any. Also, and this happens from time to time, but I'm going to just tell you straight up, if you want to, and if you, I haven't blocked you for being rude to me once or something, you can go to Twitter and you can just send me a Twitter DM. My DMs are open, so it's not hard to do. Or you can do it to Joe.
My DMs are not open, but you can tweet at me.
You can tweet it, Joe. So yeah, there's various ways to get questions to us. We like questions. We like talking about them. And we're going to talk about them now. Going to say this time, Liz goes first.
Well, our first question is actually about the Season of Mastery. So we can continue that discussion a little bit. From Vulcan, thoughts on WoW Classic Season of Mastery? Do you think it will further segment an already segmented player base? And that is a concern. I'm not sure if it's a big concern. I'm not sure how much of a problem this is, but of course I'm not actively playing Classic right now. What do y'all think?
I think that in terms of dividing the already segmented player base, quite frankly, that has happened.
Oh yeah.
And there is no real worry. There's no reason to worry about it because it's already here. Like, we're already post segmentation. As long as everybody is still paying that $15 subscription fee, or, you know, otherwise, you know, has to have a WoW account to play any of this new content, it's actually remarkably similar to the idea of adding mercenary mode to Hearthstone. Now, at this point, Hearthstone has three games going on inside of it, and you could easily just play one of them and never play the other two. You could just do mercenaries now, like until they remove it or what have you. You could literally never play regular Hearthstone, and I don't think they care as long as you're playing one of them. You're still playing their game. And so it's similar with WoW and WoW Classic and all of that. They don't care if you just play BCC. They don't care as long as you're playing, you know, one of them. It counts as an account. It counts on their numbers, and that's all they need. So I don't really see it as a tremendous problem. I mean, I do understand that you're absolutely correct in that the player base is segmented. And will this make it worse? I don't think so. I think it will just be what it is.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you. I think that the player base is already as segmented as I think it's going to be. And at this point, stuff like this, I don't think segments it further. I think if we approach it from a different angle, it's a good thing, right? If you think about it in terms of giving players more options on how to experience the game, it actually keeps people playing more, and that means that the player base stays strong. And somebody who plays in one particular mode might be curious of playing something else. Like, there are people who signed up just for Classic, and I'm just using this as an example, that then decided to try Battle for Azeroth or decided to try Shadowlands, and they now get exposed to a whole new set of players. If you give players options and ways to explore the game, I don't think it segments the player base, because there's already enough tools to make players group up and be able to do that easier, so you don't have to worry like you did back in the day. And even with Classic WoW, finding groups is a lot easier now with the technology. So, like, between Discord and Twitter and all the other socials, yeah, you can find a group. I see people advertising more on Twitter and Discord for groups in Classic than I think actually advertising game. So no matter what mode they're playing, I think the tools are there to sort of keep the players in touch with everybody else. So I would say not necessarily maybe segmenting, just giving more options.
Yeah, okay. I think we're all on the same page there then. Liz, you have anything else to say before we move on?
No.
Alrighty then. Next one is from Zool. Joe?
There is no Dana, only Zool. After seeing a screen grab or two, do we need more Anima items, or should the devs be paring it down? I'm all for paring it down, even though they're all lore-based, simply because a day of dailies, etc., can leave me with half my bags full of straight-up anima items. I'll just go, like, I think that's probably my only pet peeve with well, I shouldn't say my only pet peeve, but that is a pet peeve of mine, is that there are some really cool lore things that you can get, but also it takes up a ton of bag space, and maybe it is time, like, you hit a certain point and maybe you don't see them anymore, or maybe they're less frequent and it's all more of one type or another, or maybe they cycle through them. Like, maybe one set of dailies rewards one type and that's it, of anima item. And then maybe the next day it's a different one of that same group, instead of having 15 different items at three stacks each, taking up your entire bag space. So what do you guys think?
I think the anima system has been just baffling and confusing me since Shadowlands started, and it is one of the things about Shadowlands that I don't like. So I would be totally down for, instead of having like hundreds of little ones, you get like a couple that are really big and just go from there. I anything that reduces the complexity on this system is fine by me. I'm not even going to say I don't like anima. The anima itself isn't the problem. It's all the little details of anima management that I find like baffling. And it's just like, I get to the point where like, I don't want to have to do all this different stuff. Like, it's like, it feels like in the day I have to go do my mission table and I have to go do all the available stuff in the day to get, you know, from various missions around the world. And I have to deal with my like garden of dead people's souls that I have to, you know, keep tending. And it's just like, I am tired. I just want to come into the game, do some quests and go home. Why can't you let me do that? I can't do every day like this.
Concept versus implementation, right?
Yeah. It's not that it's a bad concept. It's not even the implementation is bad, but it is very, what's the term they use? Engagement. It's very based around high engagement.
Yes.
There are days I want low engagement. Mm-hmm. There are days I want to just log into the game, do a couple dailies and say hi to my friends and log off. Like on raid days, I'm going to be doing some raiding. I'm not at the moment doing raiding because I've been having a lot of stuff going on in my actual life. But, you know, on raid days, that's one thing. But on other days, sometimes I just want to log on and just like relax and play some World of Warcraft. I don't want it to be like, you know, my job simulation. You know, it feels sometimes like I'm playing like the game of The Sims, and it's just so much going on. And it's like, no, I just wanted to go like kill some stuff and, you know, maybe get a drop. You know, I maybe run a dungeon, not have to run two dungeons with these special quests, just a dungeon or two, maybe do a mythic with my friends, not to the level where it kind of starts feeling like I've got a checklist I'm trying to tick off all the boxes on. That's not what I was looking for. So that's my take on it. Anything that would reduce the complexity, I'm down for.
Liz?
I think the little lore aspect is neat, but it's become just kind of tedious. Like, I don't look at these items to see what they are. I'm just like, okay, I have 20 different things in my bag, and now I need to go three continents over to turn them in, because you can't just turn them in. And it's just, we need some simplification here. So I think it's cool, but it's one of those things. Okay, this was fun the first time, and now it's gotten old.
Yeah, I would agree with that. So yeah, I think we're all basically in agreement that reducing the complexity and making it easier for us to do stuff would be the way to go.
And because there seems to be some confusion before I move on, the complaint or the poster is bringing up here is that it's not that they hit the cap of anima and that they have to move stuff around. It's that at the end of a round of dailies, one daily might reward you three of anima item X, and the next daily will reward you three of anima item A, and the next one will reward you three anima of anima item Z. And none of those items stack on top of each other aside from their own specific item. So you wind up with a ton of stuff taking up bag space until you turn it in. It's the same thing with the, not even just the anima, the research stuff that you get for in Corthia. It's the same thing. It all goes to the same bucket, but it has a million different icons that don't stack with each other. So that's the complaint.
Instead of giving me three of A, make A bigger and give me one of A.
Or make everything from that day be A, so that it takes up one slot in my bag.
Yeah, just come up with a way to make it less complicated is all we're going for.
Yeah.
Cool. Or let you click on them while you are anywhere in the game and just turn them in instead of having to go somewhere so you can clear out your bags.
That's a really good idea,
just
too.
There, There are a lot of little places where this could be a little less complicated, and we haven't made any changes to the system yet. So maybe dial this down a little bit, because it's complication that doesn't add fun or interest. It's just hassle.
Yep, I would agree.
All right.
Liz, you're up for the next question.
From Sinkline, do you think Blizzard is considering their aging population? Some of my raid group are now hitting our 60s, yet fights and class rotations just seem to keep getting more and more complicated and fast-paced. Are we aging out of heroic difficulty, or should Blizz give us a walker transmog and old person buff to keep up with fights?
I'm in this question, and I don't like it.
Yeah, I mean, because WoW is, what anniversary are we coming up on this year? Is it 17?
17. Yep.
So WoW is going to be 17 years old in November. And that's a long run. If you were playing on day one, you are now 17 years older than you were when the game was released. And that is a long time. Like, I have issues with my wrists now, and sometimes, you know, clicking a lot of buttons that are really close together, you know, I get these hand cramps, and it's genuinely kind of hard sometimes. I don't know. I don't know what the answer to this is.
I mean, I think we kind of talk about this a little bit, and I see Molly in chat, but like, Liz and I are in the same raiding guild, we're all getting to that point where we're in our, you know, most of us late 30s, early 40s, and it doesn't sound like that old, but when you've been doing this for almost 20 years, it catches up with you, and like, we're getting to the point where we call it chicken time in a raid night, where we know everybody's just ready for bed, and like, we will sit there and try to figure out you know, how much more we can go and push and try until we just hit our wall, and it's just, we need to go to bed, and that's sort of the end of it. And we all work full-time jobs, and we all have lives outside of the game now. We're not the 20-somethings that used to sit and, you know, drink Mountain Dew and eat Cheetos for 8 hours a day playing WoW. I'm using that as a general term. I'm not, you know, just the level of devotion that we put in
snack food you want, you know, put in the snack food you want.
It's just not the same anymore. And it's not necessarily that I think we're aging out of the game. I think we're just aging, and the game is, I'm trying to think of how to compare this. And I think Mitch might like this one. It's like playing Dark Souls almost and Bloodborne. They are two very different games, and they require a very specific thing out of you. Some content in WoW is just like that, and some things in raiding is just like that, where they have a certain level of expectation. And I think it's been sort of the same level of complicated since Lei Shen. Lei Shen was a beast of a fight. If you had any sort of cognitive disorder, you had to remember like 8 million things at a drop of a hat. And it was, we joked about it back then, but fights have kind of stayed in that realm. They're just like maybe a hair's breadth away from being as complicated as Lei Shen. So I that's just kind of like the way video games move now. And I don't think it's that we're getting older necessarily. I think it's just the game has changed. The game literally has changed. So,
well, I can come at this from a slightly different perspective. Joe and I were in a guild together at one point.
Mm-hmm.
The guild I ended up with, like, there was, I'd say around Missa Pandaria, the guild I was in at the time, I ended up being a tank for it, because it always happens to me. I join a guild as a DPS warrior. Next thing I know, I'm tanking. And I remember this, it's interesting because this fight was a wake up call to me about something that I had not really realized what was happening. There's the Noru Shen fight. I want to call it the one where you have to cleanse the corruption from your raid and you end up fighting
Noru Shen.
And the tanks get sent downstairs. And at the time my eyesight was degrading and I didn't know that. I mean, people always like say, like, you know, how could you not know it? Because it's gradual, and because you just think, oh, well, you know, I'm getting older. Maybe I need to get some glasses or something. But it came to a point where I realized I could not tank the part of the fight that went downstairs on any difficulty above, like, you know, this was before Mythic was even introduced. Mythic was introduced at this raid. This is the first time Mythic came into the game. And I realized I could not do it. I could not see well enough to do it. And this was a huge blow to me because I'd been tanking in raids for years at this point. I had tanked, like, I tanked Lei Shen successfully. Let's put it that way.
And that's a beast of a fight to tank. I can't even imagine.
Yeah. I tanked Li Shen successfully on the highest difficulty that existed at the time. I tanked everything. I came into a guild that I had been in, I'd not been in before, and I showed them how to do the bloods on one of the two Deathwing fights, Spina Deathwing. I had to explain that because they hadn't done it yet. So I mean, I'm not going around saying I'm the best tank in the universe or nothing like that, but I was a fairly experienced tank. And to hit that point where my physical limitation meant that I couldn't perform at that level anymore, it does hurt. And if you're there, I do get what you're saying. A lot of times it's just one or two fights, though, because as Joe's pointed out, design has gotten crazy. Fights are very highly designed, and the harder they get, the higher difficulty level you push up to, the more unforgiving they get, because that's the experience they're trying to provide. Mythic difficulty fights can be ridiculous. Even some heroic ones, especially heroic boss fights, like the ones I'm thinking about, like the end boss of a raid on heroic. Oftentimes it's actually easier for a raid group to like go to mythic difficulty and kill a few intro bosses on mythic before they kill the end boss on heroic. Cause that's how designed the last fights can tend to be. The last two to three fights in a raid is aging a component of all this. Sure. Of course it is. All the stuff Joe's just said, all the stuff Liz is talking about. Absolutely true. But it's also true that if you go back and look at the way boss fights were designed in original World of Warcraft, the fights that took us weeks, sometimes even months to clear, and then you look at just the average starter fight in a raid now, night and day. And one of the reasons is because the game has decided that the stuff you learn running dungeons isn't really applicable to boss fights in raids anymore.
Nope.
Like, there has to be tank switching, or there has to be a reason you need two tanks. So one tank will have to go do something else. The healers will have to come up with like rotations to survive ridiculous spike damage to the whole raid and to the individual tanks.
Looking at you, Purging Protocol.
You know, and it never stops. There's like an arms race between the design of raid encounters and the abilities we're given to handle them. And unfortunately, the more abilities you have to handle, the more it's on you. Like, the pressure becomes physical. I don't think you need to stop playing World of Warcraft, but I do think you need to give yourself some slack if an encounter is messing you up. It's okay. The thing Joe called chicken time, we used to say, okay, how much gas is left in the tank? And this was going back to like the old days. This is a classic thing. We were bumping our heads on twin imps, and I remember the raid leader saying, okay, I need a gut check here. How much gas is in the tank? Don't feel ashamed to tell me you're done. Because if you're done, sitting here and hammering ourselves against this fight another three or four times is pointless.
Yeah.
It's just going to make you feel worse. That's always been in the game, and it always will be in the game.
Looking at you, AQ40.
You know, so if you are feeling that way at any given moment, just stop and come back when you're fresh. If that means you only get a couple hours a day, I mean, on a raid night, then that's what that means. You know, you have lives, you have stuff going on, you're not who you were 17 years ago. Thanks okay. for that, Liz. So yeah, it is what it is. You know, one of the most fun things I've gotten in recent memory is just coming along an expansion or two later and doing the content by myself. And that way I don't feel bad if I mess up because the only person I'm inconveniencing is myself. But yeah, it is definitely an aspect of the game that exists.
Liz, anything you want to add to that?
I just feel like as I've gotten older, you know, I've come to understand that I have limitations. You know, when I was a 20 something, I would raid for like 4 hours straight. You know, I was in what was the highest level raiding gear on my server in vanilla. And we would raid like 6 nights a week.
Yeah.
And I can't even imagine doing that today. That's ridiculous. So, I mean, I have different limitations, but I don't think that's bad because I have different priorities. And my priority is not playing Warcraft like it's a second job, but to play and have fun with my friends. And, you know, I'm not going to do higher than heroic content, but I feel like heroic content is still accessible as long as you have a group that's engaging in the content and like making a real effort. I mean, I think that's still possible. And if it's not possible, normal is not that bad. And if that's not possible, there is LFR that you can play, though I think LFR gets kind of complicated because you're playing with this group of strangers who may or may not be that great at the game and may or may not be the people you want to hang out with. But I think the game is still fairly accessible. It's just you kind of have to know your limits. And maybe those limits are going to be different than they were when you were 20 years old when the game launched.
And there's no shame in that, right? Like there's no shame in saying I'm not the same person I was 20 years ago. That honestly, like, that's a good thing. And knowing your limitations and finding out where your line in the sand is a good thing, ultimately. And it may feel bad now, but if you like sit and think about it, like Liz is pointing out, like Matt's pointed out, it's okay. There's still plenty of ways to have fun with friends if that's why you're playing the game. There's still plenty of ways to experience the raid content if that's what you're looking for. Just find your limit and find where your line is, and that's okay.
Yeah, a lot of times it just does comes down to the fact that you don't have as much time as you used to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it is fairly simple, and it is not about you being so old. You can't. When I played in vanilla, we had a guy in my raid group who was 83 years old, and he was like one of the main paladins. Like he came and he was just as down for it as anybody. He was always on. He was always ready to go because he had time. You know, he was retired, as he once said. What else am I doing?
Yeah.
Like, you know, I don't work. I'm 83. I've got plenty of time for this. And I mean, this was a time when this was a raid where I was like silly enough to give them my phone number. So they would call me at 2:00 in the morning because the Dragons of Nightmare were up and nobody had pulled them yet. And so I would have to log on and tank that at 2:00 in the morning.
I also got those phone calls, but for healing. Yes. I remember those days.
Don't ever do that. Don't ever give these. If they have that number, make sure they understand. You don't call me at 4:00 in the morning. I don't care. If somebody dies and you need to tell me about it, fine. Otherwise, no. Just don't. Because, man, there is nothing quite like you're tanking. You know, it's 4:00 in the morning and you're tanking a Dragon of Nightmare. And you're like, there's mushrooms. The mushrooms do something. Oh, God, what do the mushrooms do? I can't remember. I can't even taste my own tongue. What's going on? Help me. So, yeah, it's not necessarily age. A lot of times it is simply time. Because, like I said, 83 years old and he was still going strong. So,
speaking of time, do we want to cram the last question in here?
I can give it a shot.
All right. Our last question comes from our good friend Tetsemi. Question for Blizzard Watch. Do you get burned out or overwhelmed watching WoW PTR changes? And if you do, how do you get rid of that? And if you don't, how are you avoiding it? I think that's a very good
question. Okay. You answer it.
Okay. Yes, I get burned out when it's information overload. And so I will make it a point to kind of like ignore the vast majority of it. And I hate to say it like that because I appreciate the digging and the presentation that like our site does and like Wowhead does. And, you know, I appreciate that. And I want to, you know, click the content and give the clicks through. But at the same point, I know it's a bit too much for it. And things change so frequently. And I think what really did it for me is years of working in companies that produce software and understanding dev cycles. It's one of those things where I just started to accept that it is just too much to keep track of. And so I try to filter and keep myself to very specific things. You'll hear me on the show multiple times talk about like, yep, I have no idea what that is because I have actively avoided anything to do with like certain things. And I limit myself to certain things like mechanics or new systems that are being put into the game because that's the things that I'm most interested in. And I want to kind of keep the rest as a surprise. So that's how I handle it. And that's how I avoid burnout. And if I am feeling burned out, I kind of walk away and use palate cleansers. So I have, I talked about this at a breakfast topic a while ago where like, what are your go-to games? What are your favorite games? If I need a brain cleanser, I go play Spider-Man. Like it doesn't matter how stressed I am. That's my game. I'll sit down, whip my way through a city, and before I know it, I've forgotten everything that information overload that happened from the PTR stuff. What about you guys?
I mean, I admit I am. Well, I mean, I'm the editorial director here. I kind of run everything and kind of push. It's like, okay, we need to write about this. We need to write about this. We need to write about this. But even I don't pay attention to the minutiae of everything because personally, I know all of this could change and I do not really care about it having 10 variations between now and then. So I don't pay attention to the little stuff. I'm interested in kind of big system changes mm-hmm. or changes I know that are going to affect my character, because that's important for me to be on top of, because I do some raiding and I raid heals, so I need to know kind of what I'm in for. But a lot of stuff I just don't pay attention to, because if I don't have to pay attention to it, I don't pay attention to it. I try to keep a good top level informed, but I don't go into all the nitty gritty. And a lot of the stuff Blizzard Watch does is we are not the place to go for minutia, and that's okay. And the reason I feel this is because Wowhead, other sites that do data mining, they do this so well. Wowhead does such an amazing job. They have such an incredible staff over there. We are never going to do that as well as they do. And I don't think there's a point for us to try and dig in so deep on that. What we're really good at is covering the big picture. Like, okay, there are all these PTR notes, and this is what's important to know, or this is how you do this thing that's being tested on the PTR right now. So I think that kind of helps me avoid burnout, because there's only so much I pay attention to. And I think a lot of people are most interested in the top level information. And also what we were talking about gamers getting older, you know, I'm no longer interested in all the minutia. I know some people are, but I don't want to know every little detail. Yeah, I don't have the time. I don't have the attention span. And, you know, when I was 20 years old, sure, I would have read through all of this and been really excited about it. But these days, I'm like, no, I want to know the basics. And I kind of think that's where our readers are, too. So that's what I focus on. And that's kind of more what the site focuses on, just not getting into the weeds here, because the weeds aren't that important.
Matt?
I don't get burned out on it because I don't know how to explain this, but in my head I still remember how to tank in patch 1.0. Like, the game is in my head. It is so much a part of the past 17 years of my life. I mean, I proposed to my wife in Molten Core. It's World of Warcraft players who you know, gave me the money to get through the legal process to get medical treatment for my eyes. I've been playing this game and involved in this game for so long that that's one of the reasons I asked earlier about, like, if they had a Mists of Pandaria server, would you play on it? Because I still remember how to play during Mists of Pandaria. And I've gotten to the point where every time a new expansion comes out, anytime a new patch comes out, things change. I am so inured to the changes that they don't register. Like, I know that they've changed, but it doesn't feel like a big change to me, because it's like I've reached that point of old man Zen where I just don't care. Like, okay, is it still basically monsters? I hit them with my sword and shield and stuff. Okay, yeah, cool. TitanScript still in the game? Yep. All right, cool. That's basically it. As long as I've got the things that I recognize as my touchstones, like warriors are the best class, Titan's Grip is the best thing ever. I really like, you know, every race is good as a warrior. Warriors, yay. Charge is ghoul. You know, these things are still there. I'm good. That's that simple. Like, I can transmog anything to fist weapons now. Neat. And I move on. Because I've been at this so long, I've internalized so much of it that it's sort of like if you're talking to somebody who's collected stamps for, like, you know, 30 years, like, they'll just casually know stamp stuff and they don't even think about it. It's like that. I just casually know World of Warcraft stuff. I casually know Warcraft lore stuff. Mm-hmm. I just know it. So when more stuff gets added, I kind of just shove it into the pile. Like, you know, oh yeah, just load that back in the second money vault so Scrooge McDuck here can swim in it later. It's like that.
Scrooge McDuck is a warrior, by the way.
Of course he is.
Yeah.
So is Donald. I mean, come on. Donald's obviously a Fury warrior. Are you kidding me? Like, seriously. Dude, when Daffy Duck thinks you need to tone it down. But yeah, I don't get burned out because of that. There was a time that I did. There was a time I used to obsess and freak out about, oh my God, what does this mean? And now I'm like, it means that there's a rules change. Calm down, man. It'll be fine. They'll change it again eventually. Everything changes sooner or later. So, yeah, that's me.
All right, but I think that's going to do it. So Blizzard Watch is made possible due to the generous contributions at patreon.com/BlizzardWatch. Your continued support means this podcast site and community is able to thrive and grow. Blizzard Watch supporters enjoy exclusive benefits like early access to the podcast, a better chance at having your question answered on our podcast or the queue, and an ads-free site experience.
Thank you, Joe. Before we move on, I do want to say that, as Joe says so much better than I every time we do Lore Watch, this site and this podcast stands with the employees at Activision Blizzard, and we think that their demands are reasonable and should at least be addressed. I'm talking to you, Mr. Kodak. Yeah, this has been the Blizzard Watch podcast. Please send me emails. I miss them so much. I love you Discord people. Thank you for questions every week. But seriously, send me some emails at podcast@blizzardwatch.com because I need them. It's so lonely to just see, you know, this guy asking me if I want to help him get money out of Nigeria. I mean, it's a little nostalgic, but it's also, no, I want to talk about video games. So please send emails to that address. Or you can go to our Discord. We do still love you guys at Discord. Thank you for all the questions. You can go to the Patreon Q and Podcast Questions channel or the Q Questions channel, and you can ask there as well. And we will absolutely love to take them and look at them. And don't feel like you've got to ask about WoW. You don't even feel like you've got to ask about Blizzard games. If you really want to ask a question about another game, go for it. The worst thing that will happen is we might not know anything about it, so we won't answer it.
You know what? But let's try this. Go ahead and open it up. Ask questions about games. Just go ahead. Just do it.
Yeah, let's see what happens. We're totally willing to talk about it. But thank you both to Liz and Joe for being here with me. This has been the Blizzard Watch podcast, and we'll be back next week.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.